From the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
Welcome to the Bill Show, ladies and gentlemen, and myself, and of course, my partner in crime, Mr. Randall Berger.
How you going? Oh, partner in crime. I love the sound of that. I've always wanted to be a criminal.
You are.
Thank you, Willie. You know, ladies and gentlemen, through the wonders of modern technology, we're not even in the same area.
And thank God for that, because then, you know.
Well, you're 100 kilometers away.
That's right.
And I'm sitting here, and we're both sitting in the rain.
We are.
It was very hot yesterday.
It was about 93 degrees in American.
Yeah, in American, yeah. The rest of us are metric, yeah.
That's right.
You try landing something on Mars with that.
No, yeah. You can't. You can't. I don't know what that means. Anyway, listen, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking a little bit about the most recent election. Oh, Randy, it was really depressing.
The most recent primaries.
Yeah, it is just really, really depressing. I got to play some happy music here to kind of cheer me up here. Yeah, there you go. That's a little happy music.
Maybe you should go a bit herbal or something just to get rid of the pain.
Those are the good old days.
Australia has now legalized medical marijuana with a prescription. There you go. We've joined the 21st century in some ways. We still don't have marriage equality.
That's where all your Sanders supporters going, I got a headache. I really do. I got a headache. I think I may need to.
My back. I need some pain management. But, I mean, the main reason, though, is not, of course, to use THC, but also the CBDs for oil to manage epilepsy, cancer,
and many
things like that. So I think we're actually getting up there. I think if Australia started growing hemp, we could rehabilitate our soil, get new export markets, lots of things. But, of course, we still believe the 80-year-old bullshit that it's all bad.
And eat a lot of cookies. So, anyway, let's talk a little bit about the election, which is here for. What happened is, if you are a Sanders supporter, I hope you're listening to the happy music.
Yeah.
Because it was pretty shit. Ohio went for Hillary. All the states went for Hillary.
Goodbye,
basically.
Columbus.
Goodbye, Columbus. Basically, here's a thing that's being put out right now by the media. Of course, they are really wanting to get rid of Sanders.
I know.
All right. Off you go, kid. Off you go. Here's how rough the... this is from Vox. Here's how rough the math is for Sanders going forward. To win a majority of pledged delegates, he needs to win 58% of those remaining. That might not sound bad. You know something? It doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
But it doesn't. But because of all the Democratic contests allotted their delegates proportionally, it's actually punishingly difficult. It means that Sanders has to beat Clinton by around 58% to 42% pretty much constantly through the entire election. And that's just incredibly implausible given what's happened so far, and especially given what's happened tonight. Even unexpected wins for Sanders in big states like California, New York, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey already unlikely wouldn't be enough. Sanders has to win those states by enormous margins, and there is still a great deal of delegates left in states and territories with large non-white populations, states with demographics similar to those that have flavored Clinton so far. This is coming out of Vox. You know what I have to say to that?
Fox?
No, Vox. Vox.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Not Vox. But you know what I have to say to that, Randy? I have to say, kiss my ass!
Yeah. Hey, did you
because
see
the thing I'm a Sanders said- voter and badges, we don't need those stinking badges. Yeah. basically, what the Sanders people are saying is that, hey, less than half the delegates have voted. We aren't even halfway. We aren't even halfway through the damn thing.
We've got a long way to go until July.
We've got a long way to go until July, and we're going to talk a little bit about at least I'm going to talk a little bit about the choices going forward as a Sanders voter.
Yeah.
We're going to do that a little bit later in the broadcast, but I wanted to bring up a few things with you before we went off to your rant.
Oh, I'm not going to rant.
Yeah,
oh,
you no, gotta, you're going to rant
gonna,
all
you're
your
gonna
own.
Have a, you're going to have a Billy's rant today, Billy's too, aren't
rant.
You?
Billy's rant. We got a Billy's rant today, and we got a Randy's rant today. So that is a treat for all of our good people out there. Now, this is I dug up a lot of stuff, of course, in the last 2 weeks. This one I absolutely adored. This is Ben Carson. Dr. Carson, who we said goodbye to.
We thought we did.
He said all kinds of shit during the campaign, but this is something he said just the other day. Yeah, he was talking to a reporter, and the reporter asked, "You said throughout your life, God has led you to your most important decisions. This is truly an important decision. Yeah. Did God lead you to Donald Trump?" And I will do our best Donald...
to your Michael, our best, Michael
yeah, our
Jackson
best Michael
voice.
Jackson, Ben Carson voice. "I prayed a lot, and I got a lot of indications. People calling me that I haven't talked to for a long time saying, I had this dream about you and Donald Trump.
Ben, the two of us need look no more."
Then I go,
Ben,
and then
the
he sits there and goes, I mind just amazing things. Hillary Clinton was a great friend of Saul Alinsky on his first day Who? Basis with him as a student. He wrote the book, The Rules of Rules for Radicals. And if you haven't read it, I recommend you read it and see all the kinds of things that are recommended to change, fundamentally change this nation from the great success we have to a socialist country. And the dedication page of that book says, "Dedicated to Lucifer, the original radical who gained his own kingdom."
Oh, for goodness sake.
"I don't want
sake.
Anything to do with anything like that." It's unclear why
so
God, after directly
give...
sending an angel to tutor him when he was a student, elect to communicate via bank shot this time, but for whatever reason, he has now created the single most disturbing genre of slash fic known to man.
So I'll give up Lucifer for Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, that is some crazy shit. That is some crazy shit. So,
Ben, the two of us need look no more.
Uncle Ben,
that's racist.
I know. Uncle Ben went a little nuts.
Uncle Ben's
here.
Instant rice.
Now,
the other
thing that I picked up that was should make you feel really good again about the where the country is going. Donald Trump volunteers are forbidden from criticizing him. Volunteers on the mission to make America great again are apparently chill with signing away their First Amendment rights. According to a report...
How could he be a volunteer and have to sign a contract?
Evidently, they do. According to a report from the Daily Dot, which got a hold of a leaked contract from Donald Trump's personal campaign, volunteers are forbidden from speaking ill of the real estate magnate, not just during the campaign, and they can't speak ill of him or any of his family members, including those two crazy, lovely kids who spend their spare time shooting shit. They can't.
Or his wife's two fantastic things, which are her enormous plastic tits.
Well, yes, thank you, but calm down. Okay, but evidently, according to this, they cannot criticize Trump or his family for life. The contract also forbids volunteers from jumping ship or working for any other presidential campaign should they change their minds.
Oh, for goodness sake.
But as legal experts who talked with the Daily Dot explained, the contract is likely to have little legal legitimacy, oh, do you think? And would have a difficult time
not getting laughed out of court. I'm going to sue the volunteers for $500 million. $500 million. I'm going to be a very rich man. I'm going to be a very rich man. I'm going to sue the volunteers.
That's it. That's it. I find it absolutely amazing that you're dealing with a person whose ego, whose megalomania extends to the fact that his ego is so incredibly huge that not only are people forbidden from criticizing him now, they're for any time in their life saying anything bad about Donald Trump.
Or his previous wives, which go on forever.
Well, yeah, and could go on into the future. So that was absolutely fantastic. And the final thing that I wanted to kind of bring up together is that evidently
you can bring up anything, Bill, as long as it's not your breakfast.
Well, you know, I read these things, and it makes me bring up my breakfast. A group of Donald Trump supporters over the weekend called for volunteers to join a would-be militia aiming to protect voters from the violent far-left agitators.
Ah, yes, I saw these guys in their faux uniforms. They look ridiculous.
You know, I really do love when Donald lives up to the stereotype of a fascist, because he...
Mussolini now. Doesn't our friend Rachel say he's more a Mussolini than a Hitler now?
Oh, we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. In my rant, I'm going to talk about it, because basically, this is crazy.
Il Duce. We'll call him Il Duce.
Il douchebag. In recent days, violence at Trump rallies has escalated. By the way, that was a setup. You all know that, right? Rachel pointed that out the other day.
Chicago.
I saw that a mile away.
Shades of 1968.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But this one was completely manipulated. Last week, a man in North Carolina was charged with assault after he sucker punched a black guy. On Saturday, police in Kansas City pepper sprayed protesters outside a Trump event. Hours after the protesters rushed the stage at Trump's Dayton rally, a Twitter group called The Lion's Guard. And by the way, they have little stickers, you know, because, of course, you know, to complete the Nazi thing, you got to have... You got to have the uniforms, and evidently one of these guys went to his Photoshop and constructed a little patch with a lion with orange hair.
Jesus Christ!
Called on supporters of the Lions Guard called on supporters of GOP frontrunner to join a makeshift militia. Do you want to provide security protection for innocent people who are subject to harassment and assault by far-left agitators? If so, the Lion's Guard may be for you.
Yeah, join the Lion's Guard. But you know, the thing is that I noticed a lot of people in uniform pushing people out, and it looked like they were, you know, like veterans, you know. You know, they've got their little badges and things. I'm thinking... You shouldn't wear that kind of thing to a political rally.
Old white guys.
And then get caught. Old white guys wearing their Vietnam and Korean badges.
Badges? We don't need no stinking badges! Oh, man. Listen, I'll tell you something. It has become absolutely crazy. We laugh, but then we cry. So,
hey, Billy, it's a gold mine for you and me, because we'll be doing this every week from now.
Yeah,
until
we will. We will. And look, I'm going to take a break from you now.
Oh, no!
I am!
Don't put me in the box, Bill! Don't put me in the box, Bill.
Put you back in the box. But listen, we're going to be back with you for...
And the two of us need look no more.
Don't sing to me. Don't sing to me. It scares me in the morning.
I'm doing Michael Jackson with the singing rat.
Oh, okay.
Ben Carson. Ben Carson.
Well, listen, I'm going to leave you for a minute. I'm going to do a bit of a mini rant here in the opening bit, but then we're going to come back and have a fantastic Randy's rant. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, in just one moment.
In your face, all over the place. We're online 24/7. 24/7. You're listening to the hottest internet station.
And finally, new rule: Batman and Superman have to explain something to me. Why are you two fighting? You're supposed to work together. I saw it on my footy pajamas.
Thank you.
It's unsettling to see two beloved mythical figures go at it. It's like watching Jesus beat up a unicorn. And I think the same thing when I see Democrats these days. You two also need to work together so you can stop the greatest supervillain of all time, Orange Crush. Now, it was an exciting week for us left-leaners because with the win in Michigan, the Sanders campaign, which I have been saying is offering America a new kind of deal, has shown that Americans are still considering that deal. But I feel I should say something about a growing movement called Bernie or Bust, where Bernie supporters pledge that if it's Hillary, they'll stay home or vote for the Green Party. On their website, they say they're revolting against the plutocracy. No, actually, you'll be helping elect a plutocrat who's revolting. Elizabeth Warren recently disappointed Bernie supporters by staying neutral in the primary fight. No endorsement for either one. So thousands of Sanders fans hijacked her Facebook page and said things like, "I'm disgusted by you. Why not just throw the whole country under the bus? It must be Karl Rove's money." And those were the early comments before the Red Bull kicked in. Really? Elizabeth Warren is the enemy now? She's helped more millennials than Adderall. And the Hillary camp does it too. In a race where no Republican candidate supports a woman's right to choose, and one of them calls women bimbos and pigs, you know who the real sexist is? Bernie. Bill Clinton accused his supporters of online sexism, which is pretty rich coming from a guy who's been known to grab your tits in person. So while Bernie fans attack Hillary for not being liberal enough, and Hillary fans attack Bernie for not being feminist enough, Black Lives Matter is attacking them both for not being black enough. Even though they both have a 100% voter rating from the NAACP, as opposed to Trump, who gets 5 stars from the KKK. There are real enemies out there. Have you seen a Republican debate? The zombies are in the mall. I'm telling you, this is going to be the death of liberals, this nitpicky, intramural attacking of friends for insufficient purity, compulsively cleaning up a little corner of the room that's already quite clean, while there are giant piles of shit everywhere else. Last year, social justice warriors swarmed on Matt Damon for saying gay actors should not be defined by their sexuality, which was interpreted as him saying gay actors should stay in the closet. The Daily Beast screamed, "Shut up, Matt Damon." Washington Post, "He's got Damon-splaining to do." And Vox said, "Matt Damon isn't a terrible person, he's just ignorant." Right. The real obstacle to gays achieving equality is Matt Damon. In fact, he's such a homophobe, he fucked Liberace. Last year, Dolce and Gabbana got their gay tit caught in the liberal ringer when when they expressed one conservative view on artificial insemination, and this week, oh, they fucked up again. But luckily, the brave virtual vigilantes of the internet were there to condemn these two evil old queens for, get this crime, selling a shoe that they're calling a slave sandal. But look at it, it's a happy slave sandal. Now, clearly, they should update the name and call it an intern sandal. But But in this month, when we found out that 20% of Trump voters believed that the end of slavery itself was a bad idea, this is what motivates you to write a scathing blog post, a thoughtlessly named shoe? Well, hold on to your hats, guys, because right now I'm wearing black loafers.
Well, folks, it's been a bad couple of weeks for progressives. I am basically talking specifically about being a Bernie voter, and I got a little upset, I think, earlier this week. Now, basically, we have been told by the media, it's all over. It's all over. Cut it out. No. You had your chance. Off you go. And the smugness in which we have been dealt with by the media, which, by the way, this has been a rigged field from day one. But something came up the other day that proves to me, look, first of all, MSNBC no longer, it's supposed to be the liberal station, which is bullshit. It's not the liberal station. But I like to play something for you. This came out of Chris Matthews' mouth right around the time on Tuesday when it looked like Bernie was going. And now they're actually just focusing on the general election because Bernie doesn't exist anymore. The entire movement doesn't exist. Go away. Play with go play with yourselves. Come out to vote in November, but we don't want you. This is something out of Chris Matthews' mouth that I don't know whether you heard, where he floated the idea that John Kasich would be an outstanding VP pick for Hillary. Listen to this.
The best way for us to win, not the traditional Republican states, but you and I have had discussion before, it's the purple states. You got to get somebody there that's a unifier, that appeals to the broader section of the party, and John's the guy.
Hey, I've talked about him being on the ticket with Hillary, so I do like Kasich. I'm not sure how he fits into your party anymore. I wonder if your party has room for a moderate like Kasich anymore.
A moderate like Kasich. That's what he said. The moderate like Kasich. Now, MSNBC is a mouthpiece, evidently, for the Democratic Party, right? Evidently, it's a mouthpiece for left-wing thought. We know that's bullshit. We know that's absolute horseshit. But get this. Chris Matthews is absolutely cool with putting a VP on our ticket that is against gay rights, that is against abortion rights, that basically when he was in Ohio seized and took negotiating rights away from teachers, away from firemen, away from all these people. These are collective bargaining rights that were guaranteed years ago, and he took them away, tried to take them away. He's pro-gun. You know why someone like Chris Matthews says, the voice of the left, Chris Matthews says it's okay to put some douchebag like John Kasich onto our ticket? Because he doesn't believe in anything. Nothing. And that's the problem. That's why we're not leaving, Chris, you smug prick. Because I'm sick of this shit. I'm sick of basically putting my weight behind people who believe in nothing except the expedient choice. You'd put somebody a heartbeat away from the presidency who was not pro Roe v. Wade. That's what you're saying. And that is something that we Bernie voters hear, because what the mistake that you're making right now, and I'm talking to Mr. Matthews, I know he listens to the program. Mr. Matthews, you know the problem with you is you think that this is just a little candidacy and we'll go and we'll have our little candidacy, go play with our trucks for a while and just line up to vote for Hillary. You're forgetting. This is not a candidacy. This is a fucking movement within your party, Drungo, because you don't stand for shit. Case in point, ladies and gentlemen, all right? Obama has a chance to appoint a progressive to the Supreme Court. Who does he appoint? Oh, you know, let's just get somebody everybody will agree to. No, fuck that. Fuck that. I am sick. The Republicans, you know, the one thing you can say about the Republican base, they're crazy as a fucking cut snake. But they got balls. And they've told the Republican Party time and time again, listen, mate, we're going to primary you. We are going to primary you. And that's exactly what should happen. If Bernie does not win, we have got to continue this movement, keep it going, and become something that the Democratic National Party establishment fears, because we want our party back. We're sick and tired of having to elect people who don't believe in anything. Like you do, Chris. You don't believe in jack shit. You don't believe in jack shit. Nothing. Zero. Okay? So that, you know, but that now we get to the point which I think that a lot of, I'm going to lose a lot of friends. I've already lost a friend, by the way, this campaign side. And I hope that's not permanent. But I've been very, very ardent in my support of Bernie Sanders. It looks very bad right now for the national election. But look, I'm viewing this as a long view kind of thing. Look, if you're thinking about just packing your trains and going home simply because we may not win, that's not what Bernie was talking about in the beginning. This is a movement, dudes. This is a movement. This is a revolution. It may take a little bit longer than we thought, but we're not pulling out. Okay? If, however, Hillary is elected, I would like to put forward to you this little thing. And it was sent to me by a young lady who I really do respect. I mean, she's a member. She's a Hillary supporter. But she actually was very respectful toward me and very respectful toward the Bernie supporters. She wasn't smug like so many Hillary supporters tend to be, especially in the media. And she pointed out something that I think is worth pointing out to you here today, guys. If Donald Trump becomes the Republican nominee for president, which seems very, very likely right now, it may go to a brokered convention. If it goes to a brokered convention, the Republican Party is going to implode. But I personally think that the Republicans are good Germans, and I think that they will end up doing exactly what I think they're going to do, which is falling in like New Jersey Governor Chris Christie and the rest of them. But they'll fall into line. And let's just look for a moment at what a Trump presidency would mean. These are where Trump stands on the issues. Abortion. He's against it, and he's going to defund Planned Parenthood. He opposes legally requiring hiring women or minorities. He's comfortable. He opposes same-sex marriage, no gay marriage, no same-sex partner benefits. He wants to keep God in the public sphere, which means basically public schools. Yeah, they should teach religion. He wants to abolish Obamacare, which, by the way, is an achievement. He wants to abolish that and replace that with health savings accounts. He wants to privatize your Social Security. Let people invest in their own retirement funds. That would have been such a good idea before the world financial crisis, right, Donald? But more money for you guys to fuck around with. He wants to cut the Department of Education. He wants to cut the Environmental Protection Agency at a time in which our planet is literally choking to death. He strongly favors stricter punishment, and he has said the police are the most mistreated people in America. He believes in capital punishment. He has no limits on guns. Absolutely no limits on guns. Gun ownership makes the U.S. safer, according to Donald. He opposes a pathway to citizenship for illegal aliens. He, and this is what he supports American exceptionalism, which, by the way, is the most, I am so sick of hearing this. That basically, by virtue of being America, we're the greatest country. We're the greatest country on earth. You know, if you're going to masturbate, do it at home. And Americans have a habit of doing it all over the world. It's one of the reasons other countries really get a hair across their nose when they talk about America. They're sick of the American exceptionalism shit. American interests come first. No apologies, he says. More sanctions on Iran, and get this, he is prepared to use force. I'm talking force to stop North Korean nuke development. He wants to strengthen the military because basically our military, even though we spend 45% of our GN, gross national product, on the military, we still need more. Our nuclear arsenal has to be replaced. Jesus. Assad is a bad guy, but his replacement could be worse. Let Russians move into Syria. Let them bomb anyone they want. Oh, and we're going to bomb the shit out of ISIS. This is what my friend said. If you are a Democrat or independent, leans left of center or progressive direction, you supposedly know and believe that in life it is not all just about you. We in the progressive community understand better than anyone else that we are all connected. We are all interdependent, and that we are all our brothers, sisters, and keep brothers and sisters keeper. To quote the poet John Donne, we believe that no man is an island entirely of himself. Every man is a piece of continent. Every person is part of the main. And this is what she said. When we vote, we are voting for our families, our friends, our neighbors, as well as millions of other people who will never meet, we will never meet and may never be born yet. We are the voice for those not old enough to cast their vote. We are a vote for generations who have not been born. We are a vote for those who can't vote because they lack the resources and time to get the documents they need to vote. We're talking about voter suppression. We're a vote for strangers who work in our land, who do the most grueling jobs, who will be victimized by Donald Trump. We are a vote for those living in constant fear of deportation and the breaking up of their families. We are those people who vote for those who have lost their right to vote because of mistakes they made in their lives, like smoking a joint. We are voting for the billions of more because we are the most powerful and wealthiest nation to ever exist. And the decisions we make will impact the lives of the rest of humanity, especially the poorest of the poor. Now, if you ask me, will I vote for Hillary against Donald Trump? The answer is yes. I'm sorry, the answer is yes. I can't, and I've said it before on other shows, I cannot deal with the idea that we would put a fascist like Trump anywhere near the White House. But do I think we should go away? Absolutely not. We do have an obligation, though, as progressives, that if we're put in a position, we can't sit back and say, oh, that's okay. For the next 4 years, minorities will be shipped away. Foreign policy will be dangerous, because it will be. We cannot sit back and watch someone like Trump in the Oval Office abolish the EPA and the Department of Education. We cannot let someone like Donald Trump appoint the next two members of the Supreme Court. That's my view, okay? That's my view. And I hope it's yours too. Does that mean we should leave and stop? No, absolutely not. That means that we have to work harder on this being a movement. A movement. Which brings me, of course, to the last thing I wanted to talk about on my little part of the show today. The Donald. The Donald Trump. It occurred to me that Donald Trump is in fact a Trojan horse. I'm going to play for you a thing by the... first of all, I want to focus on the campaign manager. The campaign manager for Donald Trump this year has been a guy named Lewandowski. Okay? And Lewandowski is a rather interesting guy. He's been accused of roughing up a Breitbart reporter. They did an investigation over Politico, and this really fascinated me. Lewandowski, a native of Lowell, Massachusetts, which, by the way, I know Lowell, Massachusetts, has a very, very interesting political career and something that we should start actually drawing people's attention to. It reveals that the incident was far from the first time in Lewandowski's political career, or even during the 2016 campaign, that the intense Red Bull-chugging operative has been accused of bullying and inappropriate behavior. In interviews of more than 20 sources who have dealt with Lewandowski during his nearly year-long tenure with the Trump campaign and his previous job with the Koch brothers. Whoa, slow down. What? That's right. Lewandowski, who is the campaign manager for Donald Trump, worked for the Koch brothers advocacy group Americans for Prosperity since 2008. Lewandowski is coming under scrutiny at a particularly inopportune time for a campaign struggling to respond to allegations about his divisive rhetoric and about his treatment of support is stoking violent impulses among supporters and protesters. Taken together, the controversy seems to represent the most serious existential threat to the expectation-defying candidacy. Well, I disagree with that because I think the recent violence that we saw in Chicago is a show. Go with me on this one. Mitt Romney comes out and he says that we're going to mount a Republican attempt to crush Donald Trump. Donald Trump knows that in the most recent set of primaries, his advocacy group, his attempt to get the nomination would be in danger only from people like Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, and John Kasich. Those are the people that he has to run against. What he did before this recent election was basically steal every bit of media time by setting the stage for political violence. He sucked the entire media away from any publicity. Before this last election round, you heard nothing about the other candidates. Why? Because Trump went to Chicago even after he was warned of the fact that people were there ready to protest. He told the media that he was told to close down this the rally that he had in Chicago by the police. A barefaced lie. He was never told to close it down. He closed it down himself. So think about it, folks. He basically took a bunch of protesters, let him in, a bunch of his supporters, let him into an auditorium, and fucked off. And sat back, took some popcorn, and watched the sport begin. And that sport monopolized every piece of media time on any cable news network right through the week before the last series of primaries. We got to stop underestimating Donald Trump. Okay? Rachel Maddow did a wonderful little clip group of Donald Trump, and I followed it up with what I think Donald Trump really is. Have a listen to this.
If you see somebody getting ready to throw a tomato, knock the crap out of them, would you? Seriously. Okay? Just knock the hell. I promise you, I will pay for the legal fees. I promise.
I love the old days. You know what they used to do to guys like that when they were in a place like this? They'd be carried out on a stretcher, folks. That's true. I'd like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you.
In the good old days, they'd rip him out of that seat so fast. But today, everybody's politically correct. Our country's going to hell with being politically correct. Going to hell.
Get him out of here, please. Get him out. Get him out. Are you from Mexico? Are you from Mexico? Huh? Are you from Mexico?
Get out of here. Get out. Out! Oh, this is amazing. So much fun. I love it. I love it.
This is not real estate. This is the WWE. Donald Trump may have to get his hands dirty himself.
It's all a fucking show, man. It's all a fucking show. Okay? It's all a fucking show. The whole thing is a fucking show. He's playing the media like a violin. He's playing the America like a violin. What he did is he set up a wrestling match. A real-life, blood-on-the-wall wrestling match to suck up the media before that, before these primaries. And we've got to start thinking of Corey Lewandowski as not being as stupid as he may seem, because we've been blowing off Trump as an idiot. Policy-wise, yeah, he's an idiot. When it comes to being a showman, this guy is the best there ever was and ever will be. He understands the mob. He gets that. And if Hillary wants to run against this guy, she better start realizing the fact that he ain't running by her rules. And as I said before, Hillary is the worst candidate to run against this guy. He literally put people against each other, knew there would be blood on the road, and did it anyway. Which brings me to our little conspiracy theory for today. This is from Tom Hartman. Now, Tom Hartman, very, very reputable liberal commentator. And Tom Hartman had a little theory back in July 2015. Now that we know that Corey Lewandowski has been a supporter and a paid employee of the Koch brothers, check out this. This is from last year, okay? This is just when he put himself up to be president of the United States. This is something that Tom Hartman came up with, and I think we should really consider this right now. This is Tom Hartman from 2015 in July last year.
Okay, here's my conspiracy theory. And for what it's worth, I mean, you know, I might be completely wrong here. But there was this article back, back in 2015, March of last year. Excuse me, March of this year. By Sandy Fitzgerald over at Newsmax, right, the right-wing website. And I'll just quote, a large group of Republican presidential hopefuls will gather for lunch at billionaire conservative David Koch's oceanfront mansion in Palm Beach, Florida, on Sunday and meet face-to-face with some of the party's most influential contributors. Membership in the program, which is only open to chief executives, wealthy philanthropists, and entrepreneurs, requires donors to cough up at least $25,000 a year to participate. Real estate mogul Donald Trump, who is one of the donors, also is scheduled to attend the event. So here's Trump as a donor to this thing. And this is the billionaire club. And in my conspiracy theory world here, the billionaire club doesn't want Jeb Bush to be president. Instead, they want Scott Walker to be president, because Scott Walker has shown over and over and over again that he will do exactly what the billionaires want, and he'll do it using dirty pool, dirty politics, you know, sneak stuff through in the middle of the night, whatever it takes, he'll do it. And they found that with enough money, they can you know, keep him elected. So the question then, you know, at this meeting in March of the billionaires that Donald Trump was attending, you know, and Scott Walker and all these other guys came down, other Republican governors, Bill Haslam of Tennessee, Susana Martinez of New Mexico, Rick Scott of Florida, Nikki Haley of South Carolina, Mary Jo Fallon of Oklahoma. It's interesting stuff. Governor Mike Pence. Jeb Bush and Rick Perry were not able to attend. And, of course, Scott Walker, Chris Christie, and Bobby Jindal were there. So they all do their little auditions, and afterwards the billionaires are sitting around talking, going, well, you know, Scott Walker's our boy. He's the one that we're going to, he's our man. He's the one that we want elected. So how do we get rid of Jeb Bush? And Donald Trump says, I'll do it. And he runs for president, and, you know, on behalf of the billionaires, and interestingly enough, Corey Lewandowski is Trump's campaign manager. Who is Corey? Well, Corey was the New Hampshire State Director of Americans for Prosperity. This is the Koch brothers' most prominent and famous front group. Then he was the East Coast Regional Director of Americans for Progress. And then he became the National Director for Americans for Progress for voter registration. And now he's running Donald Trump's campaign. I think this is an effort to take down Scott Walker. I was Googling Donald Trump criticizes Scott Walker, and the closest I could find was a piece in the Journal Sentinel, a Wisconsin paper, in which Donald Trump said he's got a lot of problems in Wisconsin. You know, Wisconsin has got tremendous problems, period. He says the debt and difficult problems that have been going on in Wisconsin, a lot of people don't understand, don't know about, tremendous borrowings. But he didn't criticize Scott Walker by name, and he didn't say that Scott Walker was creating these problems. So it almost sounds like he's criticizing Walker, but he's not. But on the other hand, he comes right out and he calls Marco Rubio a loser. He says Jeb Bush is a wimp. It took him 5 days to figure out how to respond to Iraq. He is going after the other Republican candidates by name aggressively. But to the best of my knowledge, and, you know, I might be proven wrong by this, even today, he gave a big speech, Donald Trump did, and, you know, maybe he criticized Scott Walker. I don't know, but I'm guessing probably not.
Now, Scott Walker never made it because he's a sock puppet. But look at what's happened. Look at what's happened. The Koch brothers didn't want Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush ain't there anymore. The Koch brothers didn't want Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio ain't there anymore. In fact, none of them are there anymore. So when Walker pulls out, Corey Lewandowski, a guy who is bought and paid for by Citizens for Prosperity, is running his campaign. Now you tell me whether or not you see the long hand of the Koch brothers behind Trump. A crazy conspiracy? Hey, look who's standing and look who isn't. So let's look back on that prophecy with a little bit of suspicion that that might be true. Anyway, that's all I got to say. We're going to be back in a moment with Randy's Rant. He's going to talk a little bit about voting in 2016. We'll be back right after this message.
Majestic. Young people, minorities, gays, and women.
I know we don't talk much, but this election we have a favor to ask of you.
Don't vote on November 4th.
We've made some desperate attempts to win you over, but let's be honest, it's just getting awkward.
We don't get you, people.
We've spent the past 6 years doing nothing, so you'd give up on the whole hope and change thing and leave the policy decisions to us.
Rich white men protecting our own self-interest.
Self-interest like money. Money, 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 money.
Money balls.
Money trees.
Money in the shape of sexy women.
We own America. Why is this so complicated?
We've done our part to make not voting easier for you.
Gerrymandering, changing voting laws, eliminating early voting.
Making fake voting stations out of refrigerator boxes.
'Cause fuck you. But there's only so much we can do. The rest is up to you.
So don't vote.
Don't vote.
I think you should not vote.
And let us forge a new America, one that's not hampered by minimum wage laws or overtime pay or regulations on credit derivative swaps.
That celebrates diversity of income based on gender and race.
It isn't plagued by discussions of police brutality or inequality.
Can I get help?
God!
If global warming is real, then why is there ice in my drink? Take that, science.
But if all you liberals stay at home this November, Republicans will take back the Senate and we'll be free, unfettered by pesky attempts to overturn Citizens United or maintain net neutrality.
No more your bloody blah 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 lady laws or bloody blah blah blue blue immigration.
No more nagging about student loan reform or equal pay for equal work.
Sure, it would give you more money, but what would you spend it on?
Clothes, food, a down payment on a house?
That's not what keeps the economy moving.
We have better ideas.
Like paying successful corporations to create jobs for you.
Lowering the business taxes so we businessmen don't actually pay taxes.
And
space fracking.
So, this November 4th, refuse to do your job as a citizen just like we do in Congress.
Play video games.
Watch your Telemundo.
Smoke your jukas. Watch your lesbian jail shows.
Ride your fixies.
Drink craft beer.
Cook.
Or watch puppy videos.
Keep vining, sexting, grinding, Skyping, pinning, twerking, whatever it is you people are doing, and leave the governing to us.
Just let us win.
Don't vote.
Stay home. For Mitch.
Boop. Boop.
Reminds me of my grandma.
Old turkey neck.
This is how we put him to sleep in the chambers.
Gentlemen, it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times because, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's time once again for Randy's Rant.
Randy's Rant. I suppose it's only because of the alliteration of the R's that you make Randy's Rant like, I'm not ranting. I'm angry about something.
I know. So what are you angry about today?
Well, actually, I'm more disappointed than anything.
Yes.
And that's voter ID laws.
Oh, dear, don't get me started.
Now, even though these started way back in the 50s, they have really snuck up on people, especially since the midterms when we lost so many legislatures, both state and, of course, Congress.
That's because Democrats stayed home.
That's certainly it. And even now, Democrats even more are going to have trouble getting into their ballot and into their little voting booth because these laws are increasing.
Yeah.
Right now, 33 states have some form of voter ID. Only 17 U.S. states can you walk into your voting place and vote without showing some form of ID. Only 17 states, 33 states. More of them actually have laws where you have to show a photo ID. Now, unless you have a driver's license or a passport, most people in America don't have a photo
ID. Especially older people, poorer people, minorities.
Especially older people.
Which, of course,
all of those
is where they're aiming it because... only way Republicans win if they cheat. That's the only way they can win, or if the other side stays home.
So if you'd like to play my little clip, which again is from Vox. You like Vox?
Yes, I do.
It's not Fox, it's Vox.
Vox.
Now play my little Vox clip because that'll explain to people in unemotional, unranting terms just how difficult it may be for them to vote.
Okay, here it is from Vox on Randy's Rant.
Voters in some of this year's presidential primaries may be in for a rude awakening. More than a dozen states have passed laws since the last presidential election that require voters to show government-issued photo ID at the polls, which could keep millions from casting a ballot.
11% of eligible Americans don't have these categories of state-issued photo IDs. When you're looking at particular demographics, the percentage is even higher.
Indiana was the first state to pass such a law, and Republicans in other states followed suit. But most of their attempts were blocked by judges or Democratic legislators and governors. Then, in 2010, the Republicans won big at both the national and the state level. They picked up 11 governorships and gained control of 57 state legislative chambers, where they quickly got to work passing strict voter ID laws. These states got a boost from the Supreme Court when it rolled back parts of the Voting Rights Act in 2013. Now, states with a history of discrimination wouldn't have to worry about the courts stepping in and calling their voter ID laws unconstitutional. The majority of these voter ID bills were approved on party line votes. Democrats opposed them, and Republicans argued that voter ID laws helped prevent voter fraud. But a Justice Department investigation under George W. Bush only prosecuted 86 cases of voter fraud in 5 years.
It really just doesn't happen. Americans are more likely to get struck by lightning than they are to encounter somebody who's committed the kind of voter fraud that gets stopped by voter ID laws.
When voter fraud does happen, it's much more likely to involve the use of absentee ballots, from people using fake names to vote, to groups that go to nursing homes and pressure residents to sign absentee ballots for a certain candidate. But absentee ballots are more likely to favor Republicans, and these strict voter ID bills, they don't deal with them. It doesn't exactly help the GOP cause when its members admit that these laws are about keeping people from voting.
The law is going to kick the Democrats in the butt.
Voter ID, which is going to allow Governor Romney to win the state of Pennsylvania. Done.
And there's research to back up the idea that this is a political strategy for Republicans. Two political scientists found that states with increased minority voter turnout between 2004 and 2008 were more likely to pass restrictive voter ID laws than other states. And voters in a lot of these places, they can't help but be reminded of another time when opponents sought to limit their right to vote. The tools may have changed, but the goal sounds all too familiar.
Oh. Okay, so yeah, it's pretty bad. So as you guys can see, all of our listeners, and we're preaching to the choir because most of you already know what you have to do to vote. But I want you, your job, listeners, is to find out what the voter ID law is for your state.
Absolutely.
Don't be caught unawares. Ask everyone you know. Number one, are they intending to vote? Don't ask them for whom.
Yeah.
Just are they intending to vote? And number two, do they have the appropriate voter ID for your state? Now, of course, if you're California or somewhere like that, you're okay. But like I say, 33 states are going to require you to show something, even if it's only a utility bill
that
shows your name and address. So I really want the Republicans, like you say, Willie, are relying on the ignorance of the electorate, which I think is an awful thing to do.
And, well, yeah, but it's a pretty safe investment.
Ignorance and apathy. Ignorance and apathy should be on the $1 note, I think.
Yeah.
Instead of "In God We Trust," ignorance and apathy. Now, Obama should, and I believe, wants to do some sort of executive action which says you cannot block people from voting.
Well, here's the thing, Randy. I think that basically, if you are a person, a citizen of this country, you should just be able to vote. And I think that registration should be automatic. You shouldn't have to go and
you're
register.
You're on the voter roll.
You're on the voting line. And that's the way we do it here. If you go up to, like here in Australia, you go up to the voting place. If you don't vote, you're fined. And you walk up.
Well, that's compulsory. We have compulsory voting.
Okay. And you walk up, you give your name, they check you off because you
draw a line through it,
and you go in and vote. And that's it. Now, the only reason you have these voter ID laws right now is because the Republicans can only win if they cheat.
That's right.
And but I don't think that you're going to have a problem with Republican turnout. I think that you're going to have a problem in the next election with Democratic turnout, because the Republican turnout has been the biggest it's ever been.
Yeah, and the churches are preaching from their non-taxed pulpit, saying, go out and vote for X, Y, and Z.
Yes, yes.
And I think that's another issue, which I've read about in the past.
I think that's another thing that you can get pissed off about. Absolutely.
I have in the past. But like those people said, this has all been brought in because of voter fraud. But there have only been 86 cases, proven cases of voter fraud.
Oh, no, it's a setup job. It is. I mean, it's just a setup job. And you
know, millions of Americans could be disadvantaged because of this.
Of course, and the reason that these laws have been able to get through is because Democrats continually sit on their ass. It's like during the midterms, no one showed up. During the local elections, people didn't show up. And you have Republican governors passing all sorts of jack shit.
Yes, but only 60 to 65% ever show up anyway.
I know, and that ties back to what I was saying earlier about the thing. It certainly is possible, for example, for Bernie to make a comeback at this late stage. But if you look at the number of people showing up, it's very easy to get downhearted about that because people just aren't showing up.
And what happens when you show up at the polling place? In Massachusetts, they require non-photo ID. California, you're not required any ID.
Yeah.
What if you show up and you say, hi, I'm Randall Berger. I want to vote in my electorate. And they say, can we see your photo ID? I don't have a driver's license and I haven't brought my passport. Well, I'm sorry. Fuck off!
Well, I'm sure they wouldn't say that, Randy. I think they would say,
Could you put the clown horn in there? Could you put the clown horn in there, please?
I certainly will. I've been asked not to swear. Yeah, okay, I will. So now, listen.
So
there
that's my rant.
Is there anything else on your rantability chart today?
Well, look, I could go on and on, but I won't.
Yeah, I imagine you could. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we're kind of like your uncles that come over for Thanksgiving.
You look at the states that have called for photo ID, Florida.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, places like that. Arkansas.
Yeah.
They all want, even Alaska, all of these wacko places.
Yeah.
Want strict photo ID.
And you don't find it in a lot of the Democrat states. You don't find it in any of the Democrat states. You only find it specifically down south. Specifically.
Like in Kentucky, where they're bringing in miscegenation again, you know. You're allowed to discriminate against couples of mixed race,
let's call it what it is, the lean toward fascism South, because it really is.
It really is.
So listen, that is Randy's rant for today.
Randy's rant!
Yes. Calm down, Randy. Calm down.
I'm sick and tired. I'm not going to take it anymore. I
have to get the garden hose you off. We'll be back.
Can you warm the water this time?
Yes, darling. Okay. We'll be back in just a minute with our tinfoil hats for...
Yes, I think I need a high colonic. Let's go.
God. We'll be back with our tinfoil hats for show 142 in just one moment.
Bimbo. Dog. Fat pig.
Real quotes from Donald Trump about women.
A person who is very flat-chested is very hard to be a 10.
I'd look her right in that fat, ugly face of hers.
Look at that face. Would anyone vote for that?
She had the height. She had the beauty. She was crazy. But these are minor details.
I like kids. I mean, I won't do anything to take care of them. I'll supply funds, and she'll take care of the kids.
You know, it really doesn't matter what they write, as long as you've got a young and beautiful piece of ass.
That must be a pretty picture, you dropping to your knees.
There was blood coming out of her eyes. Blood coming out of her... wherever.
Women, you have to treat them like shit.
This is how Donald Trump talks about our mothers... our sisters.
Our daughters.
If you believe America deserves better, vote against Donald Trump. Our Principles PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Trump supporters. Most Americans have the same questions for them that this woman had of Tippi Hedren.
Who are you? What are you? Where did you come from? I think you're evil. Evil!
That is how Trump supporters are responding to criticism lately. Although the guy who sucker punched a protester at a Trump rally did reflect on what he should have done differently.
The next time we see him, we might have to kill him.
No, the next time you see him, you'll be in court. But that was just the appetizer to this weekend's tasting menu of roid rage after Trump canceled a rally, having accidentally left his balls in his other pants. It was so unfair.
My people are great. It's these people that are the problem. So they're Bernie supporters.
Really? You sure this isn't one of yours?
Go to Auschwitz. Go to fucking Auschwitz.
Okay, look, Trump has millions of supporters. They can't all think Auschwitz is still open for business. A few weeks ago, I sat down with some Trump fans and forced myself to listen to them.
No candidate can win with the racist thug vote alone. There had to be more to Trump's supporters than what we've seen on TV. So I invited an elite group of Trump diehards to have a totally judgment-free conversation. And all I had to do was promise them a party. We're gonna actually treat you nicely.
Wow.
They were college-educated, bipartisan, multi-ethnic, and look, no one was even escorting the gay black guy out. Why do you think that he is such a delicious target for the media?
He's got very sort of like simplistic but like evocative language that I think speaks to a lot of people at almost like a limbic or like a primal level.
So you acknowledge that Trump is speaking to our lizard brains?
I don't think he's speaking to our lizard brains at all.
They were intelligent and thoughtful.
Trump's moderation on like various social issues is actually a great boon because that means we can concentrate on things that are actually valuable for improving the country at large.
So do you agree with him on social issues and disagree on banning all Muslims from entering the country?
Temporarily banning.
It's about security, not religion.
And then we talked about Muslims.
He wants to save our country from terrorism, so allowing for a temporary ban on Muslims
on a religious group?
Yeah, well, here, let's put it this way. The media is always saying how Donald Trump is talking about banning all Muslims.
Well, he talks about it.
Media has an agenda. Like, Huffington Post releases xenophobe, racist.
Can you acknowledge that it is literally impossible, as a member of the media, to ignore a person when they say that they would punch a protester in the face?
It's a context. It's a context thing.
Maybe I was being too quick to judge.
He's walking out like big high fives, smiling, laughing, like to punch him in the face.
Nope, it was in context.
I've been blessed to be at countless Trump events, and I myself have had to remove Black Lives Matter protesters because they stood up and they were disrupting the event.
I think if you get enough people together, eventually someone's gonna punch someone else in the face.
Hooray! With President Trump, every day can be Black Friday. Do you think it's wrong for the media to report that half the things he retweeted were associated with white supremacists?
It's clearly illogical to do this guilt by association thing because we can play it all day long.
You mean like with Muslims?
That's a little condescending.
Some sweeping generalizations are okay, others are not.
No, I just think it's unfair. I think how it's portrayed is unfair by the media.
Is it cause for alarm when white supremacists love the candidate that you love?
We all love America, I guess. If there's something we can come together on, that we want this country to be great, I think that everyone can get behind that.
Everybody matters. All Americans matter.
Okay, absolutely. So some Americans are Black, some Americans are white, some Americans are gay, some Americans are white supremacists.
Trying to bring us all together. We're so divided right now as a nation.
Okay. Was there anything we could agree on?
The whole presidential nomination is a big reality show, and that's why he's winning.
So you like his media whoredom.
But you're whoring off of his media whore.
I'm a whore, too.
I think you're kind of a trickle-down media whore, because here you are just getting the remains.
So in the big bukkake of media, I'm the one at the bottom of the fuck pile.
I think that's an accurate assessment.
Thirds. Who feels like a party? We have snacks, and we have gift bags, an on-site masseuse. We have a champagne pyramid. Plus, we have this fact checker here. Don't worry about him. And entertainment. Hit it, Dave.
All you magic people, rally around the magic man. Donald Trump, can he stop the Mexicans from raping across the land?
What a great party, except for the chit-chat.
I do think we need to have the wall and know who's in our country, or else what is our country, you know?
How do you think he's going to pay for the wall?
Mexico's going to pay for it.
Can we just fact check that one?
Yeah, the Mexican government has said there's absolutely no, you know, way they're going to pay
and
for
you know
it.
You know what Trump's response is? The wall just got 10 feet taller.
How do you fact check bluster?
We've had these disasters in neoconservatism and neoliberalism, and I think that he is an alternative to both of those paths and sort of like a return to not old style, like ethnic nationalism, but like a civic nationalism where it's not like, you know, like racist or anything like that.
What he says is not racist. You don't think you separate? Okay. You did a beat, you did a big sigh.
All right.
It's not racist. He's not.
He speaks in an old way. He speaks in an old way.
Like an old racist.
Well, I mean, in the definition of, you know, where we have like microaggressions in safe spaces, probably yes.
But is that okay for you that he's representing the country in an old-timey racist way?
If it is a negative, I would say it's like a minor negative.
I'm so confused by you. Watching someone choke down a piece of their soul just to belong broke my fact checker. You can do this. What could Trump do right now to lose your vote?
Well, I mean,
murder.
I feel like that's kind of, you know, illogical. He's not going to kill somebody. I mean,
well, Trump has said at a campaign rally he could shoot somebody and he wouldn't lose any voters.
Yeah, he has said that, and that's called a joke. People joke in America. We can joke. So he was saying a joke, and really and truly, that's what you just said. That's what makes Mr. Trump great, because most politicians wouldn't joke like that. They're fake.
I feel like you're getting all fired up now.
I love it. I love it. I love
okay,
it.
Okay, because like, you're great. Smiling, but there's anger in your eyes.
Well, there's no anger. It's passion. Don't mistake that. It's passion.
Okay, so drop your cocks and grab your socks, America, and brace yourself for 8 more months of passion.
We'll be right back.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's that tune again. It's time for the news and commentary we listen to here at the Bill Show because we hate our own heads. It's time for the Tinfoil Hats segment. Now, Randy, you have a segment that actually made me feel better. It made me feel better. And it's kind of like a tinfoil hat, but not. But I think it's worth listening to. So take it away. Do the intro. What do we got?
Okay. This is a tinfoil bodysuit for everybody who has been saying that Donald Trump is inevitable.
Yes.
And that Bernie can't possibly win against anyone. Now, this is a report from outside of America. Now, people are saying that you're having an election, but the rest of the world is thinking America's having a collective IQ test, and it looks like you're all dumb.
Yeah.
Because, and this is actually from Al Jazeera, which is an incredibly balanced and well-presented news organization compared to
Fox, ABC,
CNN,
CBS, and NBC. Yeah.
So I don't want people to think of Al Jazeera as just being a bunch of... it is actually a really good organization. Now, this young chap, his name is Mehdi Hasan, and he's got a clip about Donald Trump and the fact that it's not inevitable. This is a reality check. Now, one of the things I also wanted to mention is that in the last week or so, there's been an incredible amount of talk about... who's going to come and rescue us all from the possibility of a Donald Trump nomination.
Yeah.
And Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan have both been mentioned. Now, anybody who remembers 2012 does not think that these two guys would form a very good posse.
You think?
But believe it or not, Paul Ryan is only two heartbeats away from the presidency right now. Because he is Speaker of the House. Now, most people don't realize that after the Vice President, that's the next one you go to. So, Mitt Romney is also, you know, Bishop Romney of the Mormon Church is sounding incredibly moderate right now. And if you forgive him, his 47% of Americans are looking for a handout comment, he actually could be the savior of the GOP.
Oh, no, come on. Romney's not going to do anything.
After
the speech the other day, Trump swept four states. I mean, yes, come on. Yeah. Yes.
But if they have a split convention or whatever they call it.
Oh, I think that's what they're going to have. I think that's what they're going to have.
Yeah, well, Mitt Romney and or Paul Ryan may be the person that they draft.
Mitch McConnell said it was Paul Ryan. He said that he's interested in Paul Ryan doing it.
And if you get a case where nobody is a clear winner of the Electoral College, you can have Congress vote, as they did with Bush 1, W1, in 2001, they can declare the winner.
No, the Supreme Court declared the winner in Bush 1.
No, in Bush 1, but the Congress can declare the winner if the Electoral College is up in the air. Yeah, so, anyway, here's my tinfoil hat. I believe that people should have a reality check about about the inevitability of Donald Trump.
Okay, here it is. This is from news outfit is this?
Al Jazeera, and the reporter's name is Mehdi Hassan.
Okay,
and have a listen. I love
here
this guy.
Is.
Remember how the pundits used to dismiss Donald Trump, say he couldn't win, couldn't be the Republican nominee, it was just a phase. I guess, as they say, don't believe everything you read, especially now that those same pundits seem to be overcompensating. In the wake of the Donald shock primary wins in New Hampshire, Nevada, South Carolina, and on Super Tuesday too, they've now gone to the other extreme. Here comes President Trump, they say. And after winning all those primaries and topping the opinion polls month after month, it does seem like a lot of Americans really, really like him. But do they? If you look at an average of national polls conducted in February, just 34% of voters who identified as Republicans backed Trump for president. But voters who identify as Republicans make up just 27% of all voters. So the proportion of Americans who actually backed Donald was 34% of 27%. If you're good at maths, that works out to around 9% of all voters. Yes, a measly 9%, or not that much more than the share of people who think the Apollo moon landings were faked, to quote pollster Nate Silver. And look, the Ku Klux Klan may love him, but Trump is far from Mr. Popular. A Gallup poll in January found 60% of Americans view Trump unfavorably. That's the lowest favorability rating of any wannabe presidential candidate from either party since Gallup began measuring in 1992. And as for the influential Hispanic vote, Trump claims to love Hispanics, but they don't love him. Still, in a conservative country like the US, isn't he more electable than female liberal establishment favorite Hillary Clinton? And especially Democratic socialist Bernie Sanders? You never know. Unless you look at the numbers, that is. The Huffington Post, which has tracked 87 polls from 18 pollsters, currently puts Hillary 5 points ahead of the Donald in a straight head-to-head battle. As for Sanders, well,
if you look at national polls and you want a candidate who is going to defeat Donald Trump, you're looking at that candidate.
He's right. Even the socialist is currently leading the billionaire nationally by between 6 and 9 points. So sure, the pundits were wrong. Trump is now the hot favorite to be the official Republican nominee for President of the United States.
We've done something that almost nobody thought could be done.
So help us God. But as for actually winning in November and moving his office from the Trump Tower to the West Wing next January, well, as we've seen, anything could happen. But I wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah, that's right, Randy. We've got to all take a pause. Take a pause is what you're saying. I understand. That's very good advice from Al Jazeera right there. So, listen, I'm going to come up with mine. And mine, of course, is a absolute classic, ladies and gentlemen. This is an absolute classic. Randy, you'll love this. This is the absolute classic. This is Bill O'Reilly's response to the absolute setup job of Donald Trump's supporters beating the crap out of people who had the nerve to protest at their rallies. You'll never guess what Bill said. Of course, we all know what Bill said. But here it is, ladies and gentlemen, my tinfoil hat for this week, the amazing Bill O'Reilly from Fox.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks for watching us tonight. Donald Trump and violence. That is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo, one of the biggest political stories in years. unfolded in Chicago Friday night as hundreds of left-wing protesters managed to shut down Donald Trump's rally at the University of Illinois, Chicago. Who's at fault here? Who provoked the incident? The answer is obvious. Far-left agitators who do not believe in freedom of speech drove a situation that could have become violent. There's no question about it. And Mr. Trump was right to cancel the event because people might have been hurt. But the national media almost immediately spun the story, demonizing Donald Trump and his supporters, blaming the incident on inflammatory rhetoric and racist thought. In the process, the press ignored the move-on component, essentially condoning a flat-out assault on freedom of speech. Now, there is evidence that some Trump supporters are angry, undisciplined people, some violent. That's true. But some supporters of Bernie Sanders are angry and undisciplined. And here's an interesting footnote. The radical group Black Lives Matter actually shut down a Sanders rally last August. So there's a trend. Radical leftists believing they can disrupt political events at will.
Yes, Randy. It's actually the protesters' fault. It definitely is the protesters' fault.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I am absolutely amazed.
I'm Bill O'Reilly, and I am the only person who knows anything.
But this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen, Randy, is that the good Germans are getting ready to fall into line. And what's going to happen with O'Reilly sitting there saying, first of all, you cannot. The entire thing was a put-up job. I mean, Trump knew that if he had his rally there, there would be violence. He was hoping for it. As I said before, this was a setup job. Okay?
Yeah.
Trump went looking for violence. And by the way, Bernie's people, if a Trump person goes to a Bernie rally, he doesn't get the shit beat out of him.
No.
Okay? And if you cannot take
a few... He gets given the microphone.
That's it. I mean, if you can't take a few people at your protest...
Yeah.
Which are comparatively small, coming up during a public meeting and protesting if you are saying things that basically are misogynistic, racist, and meant to stir people up, and you can't handle that? You can't handle that?
You can't handle the truth.
And basically, these people are, according to our rally, part of the problem. No. Bill, you're part of the problem because you're giving cover to a guy who is literally a fascist. And this is what I expected him to do.
This is the Hitler thing. This is Kristallnacht. You start the fire, and then you blame the firemen or you blame the people.
Absolutely. That is exactly what they're doing, and this is exactly what O'Reilly's doing. He's saying that these problems happen on both sides. That's fucking absurd. That's absurd.
It's absolutely absurd. And you know what? The police came out the next day and say we didn't ask Trump to cancel his thing.
No,
that was part of the put-up
Donald
job.
Donald Trump basically got a bunch of people from both sides, put them in an auditorium, left the fucking building and let them fight it out for a political distraction before the primary. Okay?
Exactly.
And O'Reilly's sitting there saying, well, you know, it's the Bernie supporters. Fuck you, Bill. Just go
fuck
yourself.
Yeah, fuck you, Bill. Yeah, go fuck yourself, Bill.
Jesus Christ, you are such a tool. You are such a fucking tool. And you know, you knew that O'Reilly was going to be a good German. He's a good German wife beater.
He's a wife beater too.
I've no doubts. I have absolutely no doubts that this guy is a wife beater. But
he only has one testicle like Adolf Hitler too.
Okay, now we can't say that. Let me rephrase that for legal reasons. I don't know that Bill O'Reilly's a wife beater, but it wouldn't surprise me.
But he got sued for it. She brought it up as part of the divorce.
Yeah. I think what the common thing that you have is, very small in the nether regions.
Micropenis himself, Donald Trump. Yeah, Trump.
I got small
the more
hands.
The more they talk about it.
Believe me, I'm okay down there, you know?
I can pass water, but that's about all I can do.
Randy, we got more primaries coming up.
I know.
And we're going to be looking at those in the next couple of weeks. And this is going to be proving to be a very, very interesting and terrifying primary process. So
exactly. And we've got 4 months until the conventions.
Yeah. Last thoughts, Randy, on show 142. What do you got for me?
I think that people have got it, like our friend from Al Jazeera said, you need to reality check people. Stop, yeah. Take a breath. Don't say it's over for Bernie. Don't say it's Hillary all the way. Don't say it's Trump all the way.
Yeah.
Just pause. Pause. Majority, have a reality check.
Majority of people haven't voted yet, guys. Majority of people haven't voted. That's what amazes me, is that make sure you
can vote.
Absolutely. You're going to make sure that
without
you can't.
Without having to have a deep cavity body search and photo ID.
That's right. Well, that's after Trump gets in. We're going to have the deep cavity body search.
Oh, please trim your nails.
Oh, yeah. Oh, stop. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's about
ladies
it for...
Ladies and gentlemen,
a big, fat, wet kiss from my friend Randy. We're
going
to see you in the next couple of weeks for more politics in this crazy
election
year.
We'll be back next week. Don't you worry about that.
Absolutely. And if you want to reach us, you can reach us, of course, at www.expatprogressive.podbean.com. You can also reach us at thebillshow.net. That's right, thebillshow.net.
Everything Bill Show. Bill Show.
In one place. And please have a listen to us, or also rate us and give us reviews on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or Player FM.
That's it.
We're going to wave goodbye to you now for
goodbye.
Show 142. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Now it's time to feed them, give them their meds, and pack them away till next time. So long and good night from the Bill Show.